people would be so hateful because I'm wrong, right? I mean, that's just kind of the world we live in right now. And so when you're talking about tree spirits, you get a lot of people from the scientific community, a lot of people from different religious backgrounds, and it's just like they throw bombs at you. And it's just like, oh my gosh, put up your umbrella. Go hide in a cave for a minute. And so that has been really hard for me as somebody who navigated a ton of fear to even kind of be seen anyways, to have somebody download my videos for a church sermon and tear me apart in front of thousands of people. Like, that happened. That sucked. And the only reason I knew about it was because they sent me the video afterwards. And I thought, wow, is this really worth it? I literally am putting myself on the front lines, right? That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm literally exposing myself and I don't know if it's worth it.
Welcome to the show. My name is Emily Green, otherwise known as Emily the Medium. This show is a space for spiritual seekers to explore all of the topics they're craving to hear more about. We'll cover things like spirit babies, conscious conception, spiritual awakening, the age of Aquarius, developing psychic abilities, 5D consciousness, and so much more. Let's dive in.
Do I have a treat of an episode for you today, everybody? I'm so excited to present this one to you. Today on the podcast, I had my new friend and incredible plant animal communicator, Kara Daniels of Deep Root Connections. You may be familiar with her. Her videos have gone super viral on Instagram and TikTok, and she talks to trees, as we all can. I think Kara brings such a beautiful, fresh, and unique perspective into the conversation surrounding animal communication, plant communication, how we can recognize and communicate and honor the spirits of trees, because yes, trees do have souls. Trees have spirits, some of them, not all of them. We talk about so many different things in this episode. We talk about how you can embrace being different on your path when you are doing unconventional work and you're sharing your gifts in the world in a way that people or the world or society might not be used to. We talk about interplanetary beings inhabiting the land and using trees to temporarily reside within. We talk about the importance right now on the planet of connecting to the earth and raising the frequency of the earth by connecting with more with the earth and the frequency and the beings that are existing upon planet Earth. Talk about how you can cleanse your aura with a tree. Amazing. We talked about how to communicate with trees, how to communicate with animals, how to connect with trees and get back to them, how to be guided by the spirits of the land. We talk about land clearing and how different houses and pieces of land can hold specific frequencies of energy. We talked about roadkill. There was a person who asked a question on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about why she felt a specific way about roadkill when she drove by it, and Kara gave the most beautiful answer I think I've ever heard. And it just made so much sense to me and really resonated with me as well of what I felt in my own personal experience. So this was just such a well-rounded episode. It's a very beautiful one for anyone who's interested in connecting more deeply with the earth and paying more attention to the beings upon planet Earth, how you can be more kind and gracious to beings, that animal beings that are in your space that you may not like, such as snakes, spiders, mosquitoes, etc. There's so much goodness in this episode. I cannot wait to hear what you take away from it. And just such a beautiful, beautiful conversation with a beautiful being who, as I mentioned in the episode, I think is doing so much incredible work in her own way to raise the consciousness of the planet and to help Gaia in her healing process and in her ascension process. So I hope you enjoy this beautiful episode with my new friend, Kara Daniels of Deep Root Connections. Well, welcome, Kara. So happy to have you on the podcast. I've been looking forward to having a conversation with you for a while, and I've followed your work for quite a while, and just love everything that you share around connecting with plants and trees and animals. I just think it's so beautiful, the consciousness that you're bringing to people's minds around these beings that are all around us and the land that we're living on. So would love to start just by, I always love to understand a person's origin story, specifically when they're doing something potentially unconventional in the world. Because I love to understand, I've had my own origin story of doing something unconventional in the world. And I love to understand how people got to where they are today. So wherever you feel most inspired to begin, would you tell me your story of how you began doing the work you're doing now?
Yes. Well, first off, I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me. It's so exciting to chat. How did I end up where I ended up? It really has been a lifelong journey. I definitely was one of those kids that kind of came out of the womb, just naturally tuned into the rhythms of nature. You know, I always would prefer to be with the animals and outside in my backyard in the garden versus actually having real friends, if you will. So, and I quote, air quote, that real friends, human friends. And so for me, that's just how I was as a child. Unfortunately, I pushed all of that away when I realized I was the weird one. And so I tried to be normal. And that kind of just set me on the trajectory of learning wildlife biology. That's my more formal background, is wildlife biology and conservation. You know, I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a difference. And I had such an intense calling to change the world or do something of service. And unfortunately, that didn't fit with my personality very well. And so I kind of just naturally got pushed out of that space. And it was kind of through personal troubles within that, trying to conform into a space that I didn't quite fit in. It just put me on a spiral of getting really depressed. I had severe anxiety and I was like, I'm here for something. What is it? Why isn't this working? And I was so frustrated. I remember sitting in my car one day, just like, what do you want from me? Crying, screaming, just like having a total mental breakdown. Cause I'm like, I don't know why I feel the way I feel. What is this? Why don't I make sense? And I just kind of took a step back at that point and I was like, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. So I kind of just left it up to the universe and said, help. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. And it was within 2 weeks after that moment where this stray cat just came into my life and she ended up having kittens with me. And like, that's its own story. But she started talking to me. So she was the first animal that started to intentionally communicate with me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can talk to animals. That makes so much sense. But I don't know how to repeat that or do it again. And so that started that whole spiral, really, of me just diving headfirst into learning animal communication. And I thought, yeah, this makes so much sense. Like, this feels really good for me. And after about a year of really honing my skills, I opened up shop and I thought, yes, this is my path. And then it wasn't. It was about like a year into that where I was thinking, I just feel like there's more. And I kept feeling really drawn back into the forest, back into nature, bringing the wild into my space again, because I was working with so many domestic animals at that time that I was like, I'm really missing a big chunk of my soul. And so I leaned into the animals and I said, what now? There's more, but what is it? And they basically said, go find yourself a tree. Well, I was like, what do you mean, go find myself a tree? I don't know what you mean. And they said, go find yourself a tree guide. And I thought, okay, I don't really know what that is, or, you know, so I was like, I'm just going to go for a walk, take myself on a walk in the forest and see what happens. I get in my car, I take my dogs, and I have this whole like 5-mile hike planned. I just wanted to clear my mind. And I was like, I don't know if there's a tree that I'm supposed to connect in with. Maybe I'll notice. I had no idea what I was doing. So I get out of my car, start walking down the trail, and almost within 100 yards, this tree, I literally was just like magnetically pulled to look to my right. And this tree was down this little, not a very big hill right next to this river. And I thought, oh, that's a really cool tree. I was like, I'll check in with that one on my way back. I have an agenda today. I took about 5 more steps and I was like, nope, right now. And so I about faced and I went down the hill and I just sat next to this tree. And I thought, now what? What do I do now? And I was like, okay, well, I can communicate with animals. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's the same process. And so I kind of put myself into the space of, I'm going to have a session with an animal, only maybe with this tree. And it was instant. The connection was immediate. I hear this beautiful voice coming into my mind. And I just feel like I'm getting hugged by an old friend. I mean, it still makes me emotional because it's just like, oh my gosh, on a soul level, I really feel this. And we had a lovely conversation. He gave me a pine cone to take home with me. And he's like, oh, you can use this to connect in with me later. And I thought, okay. And so ever since that day, I have really leaned into the trees. And by working with the trees, I have learned to connect in with the consciousness of all things. And so I talked to the spirits of the land and the mountains and the rivers. And that's just like, once it opened up, it's like everything opened up.
Yes. Wow. I love this. This is a beautiful, there's so many points that I just want to reflect on from those beautiful stories you told. First of all, I love to hear stories like yours because I work with a lot of people who are exploring some version of, you know, their intuition, their abilities, connecting and with a consciousness just outside their own consciousness, whether that is an ascended master, a being, an animal, a person, a tree, you know, a spirit baby, whatever it is. And, you know, a big question is like, how do I start? Or how do I know when they're talking to me? Or where do I begin? Or how do I communicate? I don't really know what to say or how to know when what they're saying back. And what I love about your story is it's like, you know, those energies, they're always there. They're always transmitting to us. They're always communicating with us in some way, shape, or form. And most of the time, we're just not completely attuned as far as how to listen, like how to actually listen and properly receive. And so I love these stories of your first experiences. And I think it also really helps to contextualize like what those experiences can look like for people, because then they can kind of go, oh, okay, that's how it happened for Kara. Like that happened to me too. And it sort of validates that person's experience. Like, oh, that's always happened to me. You know, I think that's what's so powerful about, you know, discovering our purpose or discovering our gifts and then being able to share it is so many people are like, wow, me too. You know, I had that happen before as well. So that's amazing. And I also love how it sounds like you, because with a lot of people, when they think animal communicator, they think somebody on Zoom sitting down, looking at a picture of a domestic animal and helping the owner with those, whatever the issues they have are. And what I'm hearing from you is you were doing that. And while I'm sure that was beautiful, you were being called by other consciousnesses of these other beings in wildlife. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So that's cool. And what I like about this too, and I'd actually love for you to expand upon this, because something that I discovered very early on in my path is that everything has a consciousness. Everything has a consciousness. You know, the house that I'm living in, the land that I'm on, the animal of my dog laying outside my room, the tree out in front of my home, you know, the water that I'm drinking, like everything has a consciousness. And I also, in my experience, in my own work, I've discovered that not only does everything have a consciousness, but that there is, you know, these individual soul energies that are occupying these different things, whether that's a tree or an animal or, you know, and beyond even things that we would consider as having a soul energy, like an ant or a spider or a rock. Or a piece of moss, you know, like everything, all of these things have consciousness. And one of the things that I love to share with people is that you can attune to that consciousness. Like you can have a mind meld with those consciousnesses. I would love to hear you expand upon how somebody might, you know, start opening up to that idea that everything has a consciousness. And not only does everything have a consciousness, but we can have a communication with consciousnesses of different things, plants, people, animals, et cetera.
Oh, I love how you brought in the stones and the house. The spirit of the house is a big one that people are just like, how does my house have a spirit? But it's true. You're right. I mean, everything has its own unique personality. That's what I found, at least. And rocks, I think, are the hardest thing for people to wrap their mind around. It's like, how does a rock talk? To be fair, I was that person too a while ago. I was like, I'm sorry. It's a rock.
And fifth hair.
But the thing is like, if you're just beginning out, I mean, I think it's really important to just be playful with it and just laugh about it. You know, I mean, don't take it so seriously. I think that's something that really blocks people is being skeptical for one, which automatically kind of blocks you. But the second one is taking it too seriously. It's like, I really want to do this. And what if nothing happens? Or what if I do it wrong? And it's like, that's already going to block you too. So I would just say, if you want to learn this, just be playful, be curious, and let the beings of nature or animals pick you, because they're going to know that you're wanting to connect in with them. And they're actually going to work to connect in with you on a frequency level. So if you're like, I kind of want to talk to a tree, but this bird over here is up in my space. It's like, well, that bird's probably the one that you should be connecting in with. Like, don't have an agenda, I think is another thing. And just really bringing your energy into your body and in the present moment. That really is the key ingredient.
Yeah. Amazing. Beautifully said. And just coming back to the house thing, I'll just share a brief story here, because the first time that I had this experience connecting with the consciousness of a house is when I moved into the house that I'm living in now. And it was a home that it was a single family owned this home for 70 years, and they built it themselves, the people who own this home. They built it from scratch, from the ground up. This is all the things that the house told me, and then I was able to validate it afterwards, which was fascinating. They built this home from scratch and lived here their whole life. The husband of the family, who was one of the main carpenters and builders of this home, he passed away in 1997 and, you know, continues to like protect the home. And anyway, but tuning into the consciousness of the home itself, it was telling me like, it's very protective of the people who live inside it. And it wants to just hold our energies here and make us feel safe and all these things. And also the other interesting thing too, is that it's the place that I live, it's kind of at risk of being developed and by major, you know, property development companies and so on. And what the house told me is like, I won't let that happen. I want to continue existing in this form, at least for now. And what's so interesting is that it's always like any development project, it never is able to go through because the house kind of is protecting that from happening. So very interesting. And I think that's so important for people to understand that like everything has a consciousness. Your home has a consciousness, and that can be, I think, very supportive. You know, that can be a very supportive energy, but it can also be something to be aware of in terms of like what consciousness is a householding, you know? Anyway, I digress. The next thing I wanted to ask you about is you shared your experience with the first tree that called to you and the first cat that spoke to you. Would love to hear some other examples of some really profound communications and connections that you've had with, like, what's been your top three, let's say, of like most profound life-altering connections that you've had with a being of some kind?
Oh, that is such a hard question. How do I begin? Oh dear. I think for me, the most life-changing connections I had, at least to date, happened when I was still kind of learning the potential and possibilities. And like for a tree, for example, when I just kind of started tuning into trees, I was kind of interviewing all the trees I could just to kind of see what was going on. And I was actually at a friend's house when this happened. She wanted to learn energy healing and animal communication. So I was over with her. We were practicing energy healing on this horse that she had, and we were under this beautiful cottonwood tree. And the entire time I'm doing the energy healing, I'm just like, this tree is watching me really closely. It's kind of awkward. I don't really know how I feel about this. And I just kind of ignore it. My friend didn't know I talked to trees at that point in time, but she knew I was tuned into other things. So I was like, I don't really know what to do here, but we'll just go with it. And so we're working with this horse, we're cleaning the energy. And once we were done, we were just kind of debriefing and talking about everything. And of course, underneath this tree. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was in a vacuum. I literally felt like this tree siphoning energy off of me in a good way, not in like a weird vampiric way, if you will. But I was just like, oh my gosh. I looked at my friend and I said, do you feel that? And she looked at me and she was like, I feel wind, but like intentional wind. And so we were talking about, I'm like, yeah, the tree's pulling energy from us. And she just looked at me and I was like, what is this tree doing? So I looked at the tree and I asked her, what are you doing? Like, is this safe? And she was like, yeah, I was watching you the whole time, but you forgot to clear your aura after you cleared the horse. And I wanted to make sure that you left this property sparkling. And I literally was like, I do feel like I'm sparkling right now. Wow. So she just gave me a full auric cleanse. And I was like, oh my gosh, I like mind blown. So that was definitely a moment where I thought, okay, there's so much more here.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. I love it. And it brings to mind two other questions for me. First of all, just a kind of curious mind question. When you're speaking to trees and attuning to their unique energy field, do they sound different to you? I'm assuming they have different personalities, but do they sound different in terms of like how you're hearing them, receiving their information?
Yeah. Every individual of any kind that I talk to has their own unique voice. And from my understanding, that's not terribly common with my students or anything like that. So I guess I consider myself lucky.
Yeah. Well, I have found the same, that there is a unique kind of sound or unique personality in my own communications with different energies, trees, animals, et cetera. There's, of course, with animals, but I think we wouldn't necessarily think the same as a tree, you know, of it has a unique voice. It has a unique personality. It can be masculine, feminine. I noticed you said you called the tree she. Do you find that tree spirits also have masculine, feminine kind of charges?
A lot of them do. And I think it's just a way that they present themselves to me and to other people to make them a little bit more relatable. You know, you have the mother tree and the father tree, or you have one that feels kind of like a brother. I mean, that's just the energy that they hold. But I have definitely met some older trees where it's hard to even describe their energy. I would definitely say they're not masculine or feminine. They actually sometimes feel kind of more intergalactic, if you will, or etheric in that space. So, but mostly he's and she's, or that masculine, feminine kind of vibe.
Gotcha. Yeah, interesting. Just sort of, that's very interesting to me. I love how you said intergalactic, because I'm all about that. We could go there. So tell me more about like how you experience that. Do you find that these, you know, intergalactic or kind of galactic frequencies are able to inhabit trees? Like, is that something that you found in your practice?
I definitely have found it's more associated with the land itself instead of trees specifically. Sometimes the energies will kind of pop into the tree for whatever reason, or they always have their own reasons. As far as like permanent residence within the trees, I feel like the more intergalactic energies kind of come and go.
Got it. Yes, I've heard the same, that they'll kind of use it almost as a temporary kind of containment place or a resting place to observe or to be a part of the land in some way. Interesting. Very interesting. I've heard that because, yeah, I've worked with some trees where you go up to it and you're just like, whoa, this is out otherworldly. This is other planetary. There's a, exactly like you said, a intergalactic kind of presence in and around the tree. Very interesting. Okay. Well, since we're on the topic of land, I want to talk about land clearing. It's my understanding that you do work with the land and do land clearing support. We talked about it yesterday. You were sharing with my community about it. Would love to just riff on that. I want to hear anything and everything you have to share. I mean, I'm particularly interested in how the energetic imprints that land, that specific pieces of land are holding. Can you speak about what you found in your land clearing practice? And I know you do land clearing meditations as well. Would love to hear, because I think you said that the places that are that you're focusing on in your monthly land clearing meditations are sort of, it changes every time. And so how is that determined? Would love to hear like how that comes about. Tell us more.
Sure. So let's just talk a little bit about what actually land clearing healing is, and then we'll kind of dive into the intricacies of the monthly meditations. So land clearing is very similar to energy healing with a person or an animal, if you will. I don't say it's Reiki by any means, because I come from a very diverse background in that space. But essentially, I'll work one-on-one with a client, for example, within their own property and land. And what I'll do is tune into the history of place, whatever trauma is held within the land, that's kind of bringing the energy down, and see who lives on the land alongside. So within the unseen realms, like the fairies, the gnomes, the elves, who is actually there? And I'll bring forward their voices so the caretakers of the land can actually begin to bridge the connection themselves and co-create. And sometimes the wild animals come in too. So I call them kind of the guardians of the landscape, like who is watching over this place? So I'll bring forward their energies, which also, by the way, the trees are like the best guardians. And I have a story for you. Don't let me forget. Okay. But there's usually trees there or some kind of individual that wants to kind of give me the history of place and what trauma needs to be removed. But in turn, they also share like, oh, hey, this is a really cool spot right here. It's actually a portal. It's a power spot. This is how you can use it. Or over there is just a drain. It's part of Gaia's energy. Just know that you're never going to grow anything really well there because it's kind of a cleansing point for Gaia. So we really look at the spiritual nature of the property and what energies need to be cleared. And then we also go within the house. So communicating with the spirit of that actual house, because they always have something to say. And they're like, yeah, this is what happened. This is the spaces that need to be cleared. This is how you can clear it. And so really it is just bringing the consciousness of all the different beings forward and then helping the client co-create and connect in after the healing is done. Now, that's the best part is working with the clients and to get them to connect in with like the fairies and stuff. But unfortunately, with most of my land healings, there is just some really icky energy, which actually causes physical concerns, personality changes. And it's like, that's not who the person should be, but they have no idea they're actually getting affected by the energies of the place. And so most of the time, people who come to me, they can energetically feel something is just not right. They're cranky, their anxiety skyrockets. Some of them even develop arthritis within a few months of just living in the space. So there's actual physical stuff going on with these poor people that live in a space that has really icky energy. But again, we can clear it and make it high vibrational. So, I mean, that's kind of land clearing in a nutshell. It's pretty intricate, but it's wonderful.
It's amazing. I mean, I think this is like required work for anybody who is living in a structure, in a home, living on a piece of land, because I think that's the thing. I mean, we're spending so much, especially if you're a homebody like me, you know, we're spending so much of our time in these spaces on this land, in these homes, and not recognizing, you know, how the imprints or energy or what have you could be impacting our day-to-day experience, our physical concerns, and so on. I was just working with a client and she had just moved into a new home in a different state. And she said, I don't know what it is. I just feel so sad since I've moved here. Just sad. She's like, I can't shake it. I should be happy. I'm in this new home. I'm in this new space. And there was the sad. When I tuned in, I looked at the house. I was like, oh my God, the sadness is like leaking out of the walls into the space. And there was a couple different things going on there, but I think it's amazing that you can bring such an awareness to people of like, I'm almost seeing it as like you're mapping the different quadrants on their land and this is what's happening here. And here's how you can work with this piece of land most effectively. And maybe having an awareness that this piece of land doesn't want to be worked with in this specific way. And I mean, that's groundbreaking. That's revolutionary. And I imagine, do you have to go physically to these places or are you able to kind of tune in remotely or virtually as well?
Almost everything I do is remote. And it's nice because I can kind of go into that meditation zone and dive into each of the different spaces and do a lot of clearing. But on some level, I would love to do more in person because that's where the magic really is. You can physically feel everything while you're there physically.
But. And you can be there. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Tell us the story about the tree guardian before we move into your land clearing meditations. I want to hear.
Yeah. So some people who are pretty good at kind of creating their bubble, if you will, around their property, if they have trees kind of at the edge or the boundary of their property, or even just right up against their house, sometimes the trees don't let me in. So because I do everything via remote, I just kind of pop in with my energy. And I've literally had trees before say, nope, you're not crossing my threshold because I don't know you. And you don't have permission from my people. So I actually have to call my client and say, can you go tell your trees to let me in? Because they won't. And I've had houses do that too, where I'm like, I need to come into your house.
Wow.
Can you tell the house it's okay? So it's so cool that you have these trees and these guardians on your house that are actively protecting you.
Yes. I as soon as you said that, I felt the resonance of that because I have quite a few on my property here. We have quite a few big, beautiful old trees. I live in this house was built in the 1940s and most of the trees were kind of planted at that time. And it's been so beautiful getting to know the trees on the property. You know, I think that's such a fun part of having this, you know, kind of subtle awareness of different energies. So sort of like, okay, this one is holding this kind of energy in these three. There's a grouping of three trees in my backyard that are kind of like a group of three. I don't know if you've ever found that, but they're kind of like grouped together. And then there's these other two kind of in the back that are holding specific energy, but they each have their own energy and their own purpose and kind of their own job. And I've got one protector tree kind of in the front. And then, you know, I've got one specific protector tree in the back. So it's just so interesting. I as soon as you said tree guardians, I was like, oh, yes, I found that as well. And I feel like it's just for me, I mean, because I can hear people in the audience listening, like, I want to know if I have a tree guardian protector. Like, how do I find out? You know, and for me, it was just like, I would just meander through my around my property and like go up to the trees and introduce myself and say hello and then wait and see what happened. And it just like, I wasn't in a rush. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't trying to get anything from the trees. I was just really interested in understanding more about what their history was, who they were, what their job was, you know, and how I can support them. And that actually brings me to another question. And we kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday, but how about the concept of, you know, these trees are so beautiful and so selfless in so many ways, and they're offering so much to our property and to our land. And, you know, something I think about is like, how can we offer back to these trees? Like what is, can you give a few examples of what they've asked for, what that looks like in terms of how we can offer or give back to these tree beings or these tree spirits?
Great question. And the answer will kind of just depend on where you're at in your own journey. You know, if you're brand new to this and you're just like, I want to connect with trees, but I don't know where to start. This is where I would start with just gifts and offering and recognition. Number one, just send them love with your heart and really mean it. Just adore them and tell them how beautiful they are. They love to hear how wonderful they are. If you want to give something physical, the important thing to remember is to make sure it's wildlife friendly. So I wouldn't put out any food or anything like that that could cause the animals to become dependent on food and things like that. So of course, just have that in the back of your mind, or anything unnatural that will just get tangled and cause problems. But the trees love it when people sing to them or play music of some kind. And I don't know why the fiddle's coming through right now, but it's like the fiddle and the flute. They just like instruments and true music. And you don't have to be a great singer. They don't care. They'll just sit there and dance with you anyways. Dancing is also another thing they like. Dancing around the trees and just saying, hey, come dance with me. You know, this is for you. And let's do this together. So it's really easy to actually give a gift of acknowledgement. Physical stuff, what I do is like, I'll give them a little bit of water. I grow my own garden. And so I'll take some of my tea leaves and kind of sprinkle them around. You can create little nature grids or mandalas or things like that kind of around their base if you want. They really like that. And actually, it's part of land healing and energy healing. So if you infuse it with just like, hey, can you help heal the land or the tree or whatever needs to be healed while you're making that mandala, that's really helpful for a lot of different layers, really.
Yeah.
Really anything that comes from the heart, honestly. They just want to be recognized right now because so many people don't see trees as beings. They're just things. So for them, the best gift is the gift of acknowledgement and appreciation.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it.
Okay. And coming back to your land clearing meditations, I'd love to hear, just explain that briefly. And also, I'm very curious. I want to come to one. I'm going to come to your next one in March. But can you give us some examples of some, is it specific locations kind of on planet Earth? Or what does that look like? How do you choose?
It depends. So to give you a little bit of backstory, all of this started because I met this really ancient tree last year. Mm. And he told me, is like, do a group healing for me because I'm so old and this whole ecosystem needs some healing. It's like, I can use a vibe up and I can spread the energy around. And I thought, okay, don't know what I'm doing, but let's try it. And so he helped guide me through the process. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. Now what? Right. And so I kind of just set my intention and said, where am I going next? What do I do now? And Yellowstone came in beautifully. And the way that that worked was I started getting the sense of volcanoes. And I just kept thinking about Yellowstone and the bison. And it was almost so much in my awareness and in my face that it's just like I couldn't ignore that Yellowstone was the one that wanted to come through next.
Wow.
And then the last one we did was for everybody's individual space. So if they wanted to work on their home, their land, their own kind of greater ecosystem, waterways, mountains, that came through to essentially link everybody's energy together and just send it in different parts of the world. The next one that's coming through to me, I feel like has something to do with Gaia's grid that's on the actual physical part of Gaia and how it links up with the more astral grid of Gaia. It hasn't quite come to me yet, but I can see it. It hasn't fully formed, but usually the way it comes to me is I just say, hey, who's next? And then it starts to come.
But it kind of is almost like the energy will present itself to mm-hmm. you. Amazing. Amazing. I think that's absolutely incredible that you're doing that and that you're making that available. I think that
it's, you know, I think I'll just go off on a small tangent here and then we'll move on. small tangent, Emily. I think that at this time on the planet, you know, I think there's a lot of talk around how the consciousness is raising and how it needs to rise and what the interconnection between us and the inhabitants of planet Earth, and that planet Earth is a being. Just as we talked about in the beginning, everything has a consciousness. Planet Earth has a consciousness. Gaia has a consciousness. She's a living being. She's a living soul. She has feelings and she holds energies. And, you know, I think that we forget that this, what I love about what you're doing, what I'm trying to say is what I love about what you're doing is I think that you are giving such beautiful attention to Gaia and like what she needs and what the inhabitants on her planet beyond just human beings, you know, because there's so many different inhabitants that are living on Gaia other than just human beings. You know, we kind of tend to think we're the only ones who matter here. And so I just think you're doing such beautiful work that is supporting the evolution of consciousness in the way of helping us realize this beautiful being that we're living on and really what it is that she needs in order to continue to live and thrive and hopefully, you know, have a very, very long life, you know, with no extinction. So, well, I would just love to, I mean, that's not really a question, but would just love to hear your thoughts on any of that.
Yes, thank you. Oh my gosh, by the way, thank you so much. That's so kind. Yeah, I do feel like that's kind of my mission right now is to just help Gaia, help her raise her consciousness and her frequency and reconnect people to the ground beneath their feet. I mean, that's really where it starts, you know? It's just like so many people forget to just touch the earth. And we ground a lot. People go through grounding processes a lot, but it's like we're actually missing the point with that. We're not actually connecting in to Gaia. We're not actually doing it right, which is a whole thing that we don't need to get into today. But that's kind of the whole goal is I work very closely with Gaia and Gaia consciousness.
Yeah.
Specifically to help her heal. Yeah.
It's so important. I mean, I love that you're pouring your heart into that and your work. And it makes me want to do that more too, because I think we need more people, you know, paying attention to her and her energy and her consciousness. So I just love what you're doing. And I can really feel, you know, I think, and what I'm also trying to say is that I can really feel when people's work is making a really big difference. And I think it's important to reflect that too, because sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? Am I doing anything important? You know, is this important? Because I have this like deep desire to do something important and to contribute something beautiful during my time here. It's very important to me. And so I think it's important to recognize people when I'm observing that they're doing something so incredibly important, maybe bigger than they can even recognize or understand. And so I just want to recognize you for the work that you're doing. I think it's creating, even just hearing you speak about it, it's creating a change in my awareness and my consciousness. And I know that it will be doing the same for everybody who's listening to this interview. So yeah, just recognizing me for your work. I think you're making beautiful change on this planet and which is so important right now, you know, so.
Thank you. Gosh. Sometimes I really wonder, you know, it's like I just do the weird things that Kara gets told to do or feels guided to do. And it's like, I don't even know what kind of impact if I am making one. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah. I relate to that completely where it's like I said, I'm like, is this even doing anything? And, you know, something I've been told, I've received time and time again is that I don't know if we can fully grasp the impact that we were able to make during an incarnation until after we've left our physical body. You know, I think that I'm just getting goosebumps as I'm talking about it. You know, I've reflected on that of like, when you're at the end of your life and you're looking back on this life that you lived, you'll be able to see the impact and all of those little micro things that you thought were nothing. You thought it was going to do nothing. It wasn't going to create anything, but it did. You just weren't able to see it. You know, so I like to think about that sometimes, that we don't even know how much of an impact we're making. I think that's good for people who are like, what's my purpose? Or what am I doing here? What do I need to do? I don't understand what I'm here to do. And, you know, I think that sometimes it can be just as simple as, like you said, having a greater awareness of the beings that are around us and the energy that are around us and Gaia and the animal kingdom and the plant spirits and fairies and all these things. It's like, you know, I think it makes a difference. Anyway,
I digress. We could keep going on that for a little while. There's still so many things I want to talk to you about. Okay. I had a question actually, and this is kind of funny because I had this question come in a few weeks ago. Actually, it was probably about a month ago now. And this was before I even asked you if you wanted to be on the podcast. And somebody asked this question. And I said, I know somebody who would answer this question so perfectly. And I'll see if I can get her on the podcast. And then I like emailed you right after and was like, I wonder if Kara will come on and ask this question. So the question was, this person said that every time they drive by or walk by or observe roadkill, that they feel very visceral physical sensation, a very visceral kind of emotional movement of energy. And I recall you speaking at some point about roadkill. I can't remember where. I think it was on your Instagram. Anyway, would love to just hear you speak to this. Like, why might somebody have such a visceral reaction to observing roadkill on the side of the road?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm that kind of person too. Ever since I can remember, just, oh, my heart hurts so much. How come I am the only one that feels like this, right? Because I feel like so many people just drive by roadkill and they're like, yep, no big deal.
Yeah.
So what I want to say to the people that feel so much more, and you might be like, why am I so dang sensitive? This sucks. I don't want to feel this. Well, I have something to tell you. You are a space holder. So when the animals, unfortunately, get hit, like there's a ton of energy behind that already. Like you have the energy of the impact, you have the imprint that's there, you have the emotions of the person or people that accidentally, you know, caused the harm, and all, you know, all of the other things that kind of get packaged into that even single moment. So number one, you're already picking up on all of that. And I will tell you, just for anybody that's like, oh, it has to be awful to be hit by a car. The animals get popped out of their body before the impact, so they don't actually feel it. So just if there's anybody out there that needs to hear that, I want to share that. But as somebody who really feels that pain, the sadness within your heart, you have a very special gift. You have the gift of holding space and by being a witness. So because so many other people don't actually feel into that kind of space, as somebody who does, you are the one that's actually going to transmute that trauma, transmute that impact, and create the healing just by being there, just by seeing it and actually feeling the feelings. So it is a gift. It's kind of a double-edged sword, unfortunately. But so you're a witness, you're a space holder. And there's things that you can do also that can kind of help yourself out, which is send the animal love. Send the people who ran into the animal love because they need it too. And we sometimes forget that. We blame the people, right? Send everybody love and ask, you know, whoever your guides are, your angels, whoever it is that you feel comfortable calling in, to say, can we make sure everybody crossed over properly? You know, sometimes they don't. And so we can always help with that. If you are in a space where you can actually pick the animal up or move it off of the road into a more appropriate location, please do that, you know, because there's other animals that are going to come in and we don't want them to get hit. You can also honor them by creating grids or giving them flowers. And I know like roadkill can be really gross, so you don't actually have to do it on the body. You can just do something at home in your garden, on your desk, in your mind. It doesn't really matter, but by doing something kind of sacred for them also helps with that energy and it helps transmute your sadness into something a little bit more positive. So there's a lot of depth there too. And there's something else too. I could go down this whole rabbit hole, but a few other things that I just want to share is the animal that gets hit. If it's not a common animal, like for where I live, we get deer ran over all the time. It really sucks. So for me, it's like, ah, another deer. But if it's a quail or something that's a little bit more unique, by seeing it, you know, that's also a message for you. So what kind of message would a quail have for you? What kind of message would a porcupine have? So you can go down into the medicine, or Ted Andrews has a really lovely guidebook about the animals and the medicine. That could be something for you to look at too, because as a witness, there's something in it for you too. So you can always kind of reflect in on the animal, their ecology, what their role is, and how you can bring their medicine and messages into your space.
Beautiful. I love that. That's wonderful perspective. And I'd never even thought of the person who had in the pact with the animal. I didn't even think of that. Of course, that makes so much sense. There's such a, in that particular space, time, location, there's, you know, different layers of emotion, different layers of energy. That makes perfect sense. And I agree with you. I'm definitely the person who will stop in my tracks, you know, a squirrel, you know, roadkill, and just say, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, you know, or almost witnessing it happen. And then they, you know, and then they move out of the way. It's like, okay, you can do it. You can move, you know, you can move. So I think what I'm hearing you say, and I love this, is that sensitivity, that awareness is such a superpower, because there's so many people who are just like, oh, gross, dead squirrel, oh, raccoon, oh, gross, opossum, whatever. And then there's people who are like, whoa, like, you know, they can feel it. They can feel the energy around it. And then we can actually, I love all the suggestions that you gave to transmute that energy. One last thing I'll add is that I find this even too, you know, in my work and my practice, since I have discovered that everything has a consciousness and been able to connect with the consciousnesses of most things. I also find this too, just with like small things, you know, I'm so much more aware as I'm walking across my land. Oh, there's an ant nest right here. I'm going to walk around it so that I don't disrupt them. Or there's a spider living in this corner of my room. And something that, to be quite frank, that is hard for me, that's challenging for me, is when people speak very flippantly around taking life, no matter how small it is, like, spider, just suck it up with my vacuum.
Oh, it was hard.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think to them, it's just like this thing that's in their space that's inconvenient. And to me, I'm like, that is a being that's just in it's doing its thing. It doesn't recognize that it's in your space, or that it's making you uncomfortable, or whatever the case may be. You know, I think it's really challenging for me. And like, if I, God forbid, step on an ant or a spider or whatever, I feel horrible. I'm like, ah, my inability to be aware of my surroundings. You know what I mean? So it's just something I think about. And my family has always thought I was very weird for that, because they're like, it's just an ant, Emily. Like, why are you crying? I used to cry when I was stepping over worms. You know, I'm like, ah, like, I'm so stupid. You know, I accidentally stepped on them and I wasn't paying attention enough. So I think it's like, it's just interesting to me to think about how I have almost this kind of like hypersensitive awareness of everything around me, and how I'm could be in impacting their environment and their life and their, you know, longevity. And most people are just like, oh, bee, you know, flick it off, or spray the pesticides on the flowers and then the bees die. Or the dandelions are so annoying. I mean, I could go on a whole rant about pesticides. Anyway, it's the whole thing. I'm on a rant because it's just, you know, I feel like I can talk to you about these things.
Yeah, I feel you. Especially the poisonous ones. You know, the ones that really get a bad reputation.
Yeah.
I had a female black widow, come and decide that she wanted to live on my back patio. Mm. And I thought, oh, you are so beautiful, but you can't be here because I've got like other living beings that you could actually harm. And so I went up to her and I just, you know, most people would just squish her because she's poisonous, right? Picked her up and I said, well, I'm going to relocate you. Where do you want to go? And took her into the field next door. It's a huge space. So she enjoyed the wooden fence I put her on. But I thought, like, why are you here to begin with? And that kind of goes back to all interactions are intentional. And this spider was just like, I really wanted to get to know humans more and kind of watch your family and just like stay on the outskirts, but still watch. And so we had this really cool conversation of why she was actually here. And she had a really cool lesson. She's like, well, here's my medicine. Let me tell you about it. She's like, I am so sexy. I am so confident. Look at my body. And she was just like, oozing self-confidence. And she was like, you can take this. Like, just think about me when you need self-confidence. And I was like, I will, because you are beautiful. It was just such a cool interaction. It's like, you can really learn so much from these animals if we just stop and listen.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. That's cool, right? And that's the thing, you know, poisonous animals, snakes. I've always loved snakes, but I know a lot of people are very frightened of them. And again, I think I really like what you're saying. I think that every animal has a specific message. Every presentation is intentional and it has medicine. It has something to offer us. And it hurts to think about, like, you know, an animal is just trying to present with a specific intention, observing family, just curiosity.
And then, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, you know, gross. I went to, anyway, I digress.
Thank you for that. That was beautiful.
My last question, that this is kind of moving in a different direction, but it is something I've been curious about. Just watching you share your gifts on social media and share your perspectives and your Q&As with fairies. I love those. I'm like, oh, Kara's doing a Q&A with a whale or a fairy. I'm like, I can't wait to see what they say. Anybody who's wondering, we'll make sure you can connect with Kara on Instagram because you have a beautiful, beautiful presence there. But what I wanted to ask you is, because this is something that I've been experiencing, curious your perspective on this is, you know, for somebody who is sharing their work and their perspectives and their gifts in a digital space. And, you know, I think you've experienced quite a bit of growth in a short period of time. And just curious, like, what has been the most beautiful part of that? What's been the biggest blessing? And what has been the most challenging element of that for you?
Yeah, it really happened overnight. I woke up one day and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this? I just like, I'm somebody who's so introverted and I don't like to be seen. So the fact that the account that I created, basically just to hold myself accountable, went somewhere, I was just mind blown. And I was like, well, now I actually have to show up. So that was kind of a weird adjustment. But what was so cool about it, the video, I think, or the few videos that actually took my account somewhere, were tree communication or connection ones. And the coolest part about that was how many people understood what I was talking about. They're like, yeah, me too. I didn't know there were other tree communicators out there. Oh my gosh, that's what happened to you? That happened to me once too. And then it's like the light bulbs go off. And so I literally comments, hundreds, if not thousands of comments of people just like, yeah, here's my story. And that was the most motivating part of it. I was like, oh my gosh, look at all these people out there that do this and nobody is talking about it. It's like, we need to create a space where people can. And so that's been really rewarding, is just like hearing everybody's stories and experiences, or bringing in the people that are kind of right on that brink. They're like, I think I know what you're talking about, or I'm really curious, but I haven't gone there yet. And so they're kind of just watching and asking questions. And then all of a sudden I get messages like, I just had my first tree communication today. Let me tell you all about it. And my heart just sings because it's like, yes. So that's been the best part of this. And it has been my motivation. On the flip side, of course, in the public space, you know, all opinions are fair game, right? To be taken and obliterated. I mean, even if I just said, the best color is green, and here's why. I mean, people would be so hateful because I'm wrong, right? I mean, that's just kind of the world we live in right now. And so when you're talking about tree spirits, you get a lot of people from the scientific community, a lot of people from different religious backgrounds, and it's just like they throw bombs at you. And it's just like, oh my gosh, put up your umbrella, go hide in a cave for a minute. And so that has been really hard for me as somebody who navigated a ton of fear to even kind of be seen anyways, to have somebody download my videos for a church sermon and tear me apart in front of thousands of people. Like, that happened. That sucked. And the only reason I knew about it was because they sent me the video afterwards. And I thought, wow, is this really worth it? I literally am putting myself on the front lines, right? That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm literally exposing myself and I don't know if it's worth it. But something that somebody told me that really helped was just, you know, not everybody's going to agree with you. We all experience life through our own lens and our own experiences. So, you know, you're going to reach the people that are going to need your help, or you're going to help people make sense of something, whether it's now or in 10 years. And they were just like, put your trench coat on, you know, put your hood on and let all of that hate and negativity just kind of roll off of you, because the people that are going to find you, they need you. And I thought, okay, I can do it. And so it's like, I do have to remember that not everybody is going to agree with me. And so just kind of going into that mental space of, there's somebody out there that needs to hear this. Not to say I know everything, you know, I just want to hold the space for people. But
yeah,
I mean, I didn't have that when I was like, trees can talk. Who do I tell? You know, so I just want to be a safe space for people to come to. And if that means I get to be the one that holds the hate also, then so be it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm asking because I've experienced similar and in different ways and experienced similar fears, you know, and had a very deep fear for very long of how I would be able to handle it if I ever had somebody, you know, say something very hateful in response to me just being myself and, you know, sharing something that I feel is very loving and kind of just funny, you know, or just an observation that I have or perspective that I have, you know. And I think that my heart, I feel every word you said, I feel it because I've experienced similar. And I think it's important. The reason I'm asking also is for anybody in the audience who's listening, who maybe has had, you know, this vision or this dream on their heart to share their gifts with the world in some way, specifically in the online space, and they're scared. And I think it's unrealistic to say that you're not going to get any, you know, negative polarity, because that's just the planet we live on. That's just how things tend to work down here. But I think what I love what you said, and it's such an important reminder, is like focusing on the light, all of the amazing connections, all the amazing people who have been able to like recognize their own gifts because of you sharing yours. You know, how amazing is that? And then they've been able to go off and take that and continue the energy and the mission in whatever direction they decide to take it. And so I think it's like, you know, yeah, I always thought it's like, you'll never get, you know, you just, if you stay like safe and you kind of like watch what you say, and you don't say too much, and you don't say too, you know, you don't say anything edgy, then people will never be able to say anything bad to you. And that just completely blew up in my face. It just doesn't work that way, you know? So anyway, I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think that so many people can relate to that, myself included.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to navigate, especially for people like us. Yeah. Where we have been taught to stay small and quiet, and even lifetimes past, there's so much trauma there. And so to actually step forward and say, this is me, for better or for worse, you know, it's really hard when somebody's just like, oh my gosh, you're insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing too, just something that I learned is when I was kind of in that midst, like the first big thing with that whole church, I was just like, I went in, I stopped posting for a minute, and I did some really deep reflection on why I was here. So it was actually a really wonderful learning opportunity. And it's like, once it happens, you kind of just get over it. So like, if you're just like, I don't want anybody to be awful to me, it's like, yeah, it's going to suck and it's going to kind of put you through a mental loop. But if you can go through that and reflect and heal, it's like, no matter what they say afterwards, it's like, nah, whatever, I'm just going to move on, or just delete your comment. I mean, that's what I do. And it's just like, it's no big deal. It doesn't hurt me as much now. So there's definitely healing to be done on through that journey.
Yeah, agreed. That's actually what I found too. That was very similar to my experience, where I was like, I, you know, kind of was able to dodge it for a very long time because I was being, you know, kind of playing a little bit small or a little bit safe. And eventually when I started to not do that anymore, of course, the barrage came. I mean, death threats, and she should be put down like a dog, you know, like horrible, horrible things. I'm so sensitive, you know, and that's part of it. Like, we're just here, we're sharing ourselves and our hearts. We're these like sensitive, like, be nice to us, please.
You know, I wouldn't be that mean to you.
Nice to me. But you're right. I mean, going through that and having a few days of really, it was very challenging, like moving through a lot of energy and emotion around it. But coming out the other side, you're right. There was a total alchemy that happened for me as well, where it was like, okay, you know, move through that. If I can get through hearing those kinds of things said about myself, I can get through probably anything, you know? So I agree with you. That was very similar to my experience too. And thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Well, this is an amazing conversation. I enjoyed getting the chance to sit and talk with you so much. And I know that there are so many curious people in the audience listening who are wondering if they don't already know of you and your work, which I'm sure there are people who do. But for anybody who would like to connect with you and your work moving forward, can you tell them how? I'll have everything linked in the show notes as well, but can you tell people how they can connect with you and your work moving forward?
Of course. So socially, I am most available on Instagram at Deep Root Connections. And that's also my website, deeprootconnections.com. And you can kind of just creep around on the website. It has a lot of information for you. So yeah, reach out if you have questions or stories you want to share. That's kind of what I'm here for.
Beautiful. And you do your land healing meditations every third Saturday of the month, right? Correct?
Yes. Yes. I mean, and you can sign up. There's a link in my Instagram and also on my website, or you can just send me a note and I'll send you the link. So cool. I love to have whoever wants to join, come join.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming to the next one. I'll see if anybody here is listening and you're going to come too. Thank you, Kara, for your time, your wisdom, your presence, your energy. Appreciate it so much. And I know so many people are going to learn so much from this interview. So thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.